Hi, listeners. I'm your host, Rebecca Kelly, and welcome back to The Station, a fiction podcast about a girl named Ida, who's trapped on a derelict space station called the Delta. In this episode, Ida will fill us in on how life has been dealing with NASA on a daily basis. She learns that she's found a real affection for her savior, Ale Bacchus. Let's jump back into our story. Here is chapter 27 of The Station. I miss you, Ida. There was a sense of calm that used to run through my brain while I performed one mundane task after another. It was really the only way I could carry on, keeping the schedule and keeping my brain quiet. Now, I can't seem to do anything without mentally breaking down. The old Ida has been replaced with a sniveling emotional basket case. I have become emotional Ida. I know, it sounds crazy. I feel crazy. All I've ever wanted is to have contact with someone. I've spent the better part of my life trying and failing to do that. And now that I have, it's almost like my mind is fighting back. Like it wants things to go back to the way they were. Cold and numb and routine. Thing is, I knew how to cope with the way it was. This emotional stuff, it's all new to me. I blame Ale. I've developed some sort of strange affection for him that I can't figure out. I can't seem to keep it from invading my daily life, and it's driving me up the wall. NASA has spent the last few days reprogramming every computer program on the station to make it more compatible with their systems. And along the way, they're making changes left and right. They have literally taken over control, and they're in my ear and in my head constantly. I'm not used to that. They've put me on a tight schedule, allotting exact times for meals, exercise, and sleep, as if my routine wasn't good enough. I try to tell Ale that I've been working on the same schedule since I was born. I need to keep it. He assures me that he will talk to them. Talking to Ale is now the single most important part of my day. He likes to take the night shifts because there are fewer people around and he feels that we can speak more freely. He informed me that his goal is to be my friend. I can't imagine having a friend. Nix is my friend, I guess, in an artificial sort of way. But that's really not the same thing. Since the first contact a few days ago, I've talked with several people, but I can't say that I really like talking to any of them. There's a guy named Nemo who goes on as if he's speaking to a computer instead of a person. I think his name is John or Jonathan or something like that, but he told me to call him Nemo. There's also a girl named Gina who was on the radio once. She sounded nervous and she stuttered a lot. I'm sure it's intimidating to talk to me, not knowing if I'm crazy after being up here by myself for so long. Jade was okay, but she doesn't come on anymore. I guess she's the one in charge. Ale is the only one who actually listens to me. I like that. Good evening, Ida. How are things in low Earth orbit? Ale asks. I am in the G, running, when I hear his voice come through the tiny earbud. NASA has asked me to keep it in any time I'm awake so they can contact me at all times. It's fabulous, as always, I reply, not slowing my pace. Fabulous, he repeats. What's for supper tonight? Butter lettuce with garlic, rosemary, peanut oil, sautéed potatoes, and green beans, I say. Garlic rosemary oil is one of my favorites. There's an oil press in the kitchen that I use to make peanut and sunflower seed oil. I like to season it with various herbs and let it sit for a few days so that the herbs come alive with fragrance. Wow, Ale says after hearing about my meal. I guess I had no idea that there was so much variety in that garden of yours. I'm genuinely impressed that you grow all of your own food. It's not something anyone else has ever done in the history of space exploration. And frankly, it's not something many people do on the surface either. Don't you garden? I ask. Ale snickers at this. No, I'm not a gardener, he says. I love to garden, I say, slowing down as I make my way around the module to the kitchen. I plan to garden every day for the rest of my life. Of course! When you get down to the surface, I'm going to find you a big plot of land full of fertile black dirt, the kind of dirt that stains your fingers and feels like coffee grounds. You can garden until your heart's content, he says. I smile and start rummaging around in the cellar, pulling out ingredients for my meal. It didn't slip by me that he said, when I get to the surface, not if. Ale continues, Ida, there's someone new here who's going to talk to you for a while tonight. Her name is Dr. Tess Avrakatos. She works in our physiology department. I let out a long sigh. I don't like talking to others. I say this to him. I get it, he says. It's got to be difficult for you, meeting so many new people at once. But you're doing such a good job. Everyone seems to think you're the equivalent to Wonder Woman up there. Wonder Woman, I say, perplexed by this comparison. I'm sorry, you probably don't know who Wonder Woman is. No, I know who she is, I say. I've seen the movies and read her comic books. I just can't imagine why anyone would compare me to her. I'm just here. I mean, I'm not anything special. She's a superhero. I'm just ordinary. No flashy bracelets or fabulous boots. I don't even have real gravity. My greatest accomplishment is keeping myself alive. Ale sighs. You amaze me, Ida, he says. How can you say that you're nothing special? His voice is rising slightly with disbelief. People down here on the surface are amazed that you're alive up there. The fact that you've survived as long as you have is, well, a miracle. Do you understand that? I shake my head, even though I know he can't see me do it, and say, I survive because I have to. It's no miracle. There's no other choice. Well, I think it's a miracle, he says. If there is a God out there, and I believe that there is, then you've done something to get on his good side. That's all I'm saying. Who else besides Wonder Woman could keep a space station going without any help from the ground for over 18 years? I had help, I say, my voice trailing off. As soon as the words leave my mouth, I regret them. I do not want to talk about Nu. Yes, you did, he says, his tone changing ever so slightly, taking on a sadness that I've never heard before. Sounds like he's going to probe, but he doesn't. Instead, he says, I'd like you to talk to Tess now. She's an accomplished doctor, and she wants to discuss your medical history and cover some basic health information. We're working on a plan to bring you down to the surface, but we want to make sure that your body can handle the stress of reentry. What do you mean by that? I ask. What if you determine that my body can't handle it? Will you leave me up here? I bite my upper lip as I rip up pieces of lettuce for my salad. No, he says, a note of panic rising up in his voice. I only meant that you were born in a limited gravity environment with minimal shielding from solar and cosmic radiation. It's something we've never seen before. We need to get a good idea of your physiological makeup so we can be prepared when you come down. That's all. Okay, let me talk to her then. Will you still be here? I mean, will I be able to talk to you after she's done? I ask. I feel my chest tighten as I ask this. I do not like it when someone new comes around, and I do not like it when he is not there. I promise, he says, I will be right here. Tess just has a few questions for now, and as soon as she's done, I'll come back on the radio. You have my word, okay? Yes, okay, I say. There is a pause. I hear the microphone being passed to someone else. I finish tossing the lettuce and oil together and get to work on cutting up a potato. Hello, Ida, says a cool voice. I can tell by her tone that she isn't nervous at all, but there's something about her voice that I can't put my finger on. She almost sounds excited to speak to me. She continues, My name is Dr. Avrakatos, but you can call me Tess. Does that sound okay? Sure, I say, finishing with the potato and dumping the chopped pieces into a pan to saute. Before I begin with the medical questions, I want you to know how much I admire you for your bravery, she says. Thank you, I say. I'm never sure what to say when they compliment me like that. I don't think of myself as a brave person. Tess continues, Ali mentioned that you're cooking supper. Can you tell me a little bit about your garden? I'd like to get a better idea of what your diet consists of. I let out a sigh of relief. I don't mind talking about the garden. So I fill her in on the basics of how I run the garden and what I'm growing. She asks me to describe my typical meal. I'm not sure what she means by this. My meals are different every day, but I do my best. Then she asks some general questions about my health and the machinery available on board that I can use to monitor my health and send readings back to the surface. Finally, she says, Ida, she hesitates, and I know what's coming. Tell me about your mother. What do you want to know? I ask. I've finished cooking now and am sitting at the table, but suddenly I don't have much of an appetite. What happened to her? She asks. I swallow a lump of lettuce and say, I don't want to talk about my mother right now. Tess sighs and says, Ida, you're going to have to tell us what happened to her at some point. I can tell she's put off by my cold answer to her question. I know she's not trying to upset me, but I also know that I can't talk to her about my mother. Not yet. Emotional Ida makes her appearance, and fat tears roll down my cheeks. I try to keep my voice steady as I say, I'm sorry, Tess, I'm just not ready yet. Okay, she says, the word deflated with disappointment. But she seems to understand because, mercifully, she moves on to other subjects. She tells me that she wants to know more about my anatomy. She asks me all types of questions about my body temperature, muscle structure, bodily functions, eyesight, etc. I have a detailed log of my monthly physical checkups dating back to my birth. I tell Tess about these logs, and she asks that I transmit them down to the ground so she can take a look. Before she signs off, Tess says, Ida, this is so helpful. Can I tell you how happy I am to meet you? Your journey is going to teach us so much about life and space. Glad I can help, I say, happy that her portion of the interview is over. I am ready to talk to Ale again. Thanks for listening, sci-fi fans. In the next episode, we'll learn more about the daunting task ahead of Ale and the engineers at NASA, how to save Ida's space station from deorbiting, and ultimately, how to bring her down to the surface once and for all. See you then. Bye.